Howdy and welcome to the third episode of the Frugalpreneur podcast for people who want big venture for little capital. I am your hostess, Shannon, and today we're going to be talking about the five buzzkills of your business. Yeehaw. So welcome back to the Frugalpreneur podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the five buzzkills of business. Now, when I talk about business, I'm not just talking about having an actual physical storefront. When I refer to business, it can be anything from starting your own freelance gig as a web designer, as an interior decorator, or even if you're going to go pro blogging or you want to work from home, if you're going to be running your own office and deciding how to run a business on your own, whatever that means for you, don't get me wrong, these five buzzkills will apply to you too. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom that's crocheting towels to fund your kids' college education, these buzzkills are so horrible that they will find you unless you're prepared. So that being said, the first buzzkill of business
is what I call perfection procrastination.
We know plenty about procrastination, where you just simply don't get anything done. And we know plenty about the need for perfection. But what happens is, in business, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to move forward on a project or to launch a business because we tell ourselves we just need more information. So it's a really gross lie that we tell ourselves that even if we've been working in an industry for years, we feel that we need to go out and learn everything and completely disable ourselves and discount our own expertise in order to consider ourselves worthy of that expertise and, quote, prepared to start our own business. Don't get me wrong. No matter how well you prepare to start your business, to start a blog, to produce your first ebook, or even, as I've discovered, start a podcast, you are going to make every mistake in the book, most of them, even when you're well prepared. So do not let the need for perfection completely disable you from moving forward. Analysis paralysis is very real, and it could completely stop you dead cold in your tracks if you're trying to move forward with a new project, to launch a website, or to really kick off a side gig. You will find that if you allow yourself to overanalyze to the point where it stops you from moving forward, you've completely defeated the purpose. Now, learn from my fail. I started the Frugalpreneur podcast. The domain was actually purchased back in November of 2011. And I had this brilliant idea that I was going to create this wonderful hub of expertise. And I felt that I had no right to be talking about business unless I sat down and read every stupid thing I could possibly find. So I actually went to the library and got a backpack full of books on everything from being an entrepreneur to case studies of entrepreneurs to starting your own Etsy store to freelancing and pro blogging and completely inundated myself with work. And for a while it was a convenient excuse. I was like, oh, I can't get started until I get through all these books. But then I realized that I have no way, even after reading and researching everything, I have no way of being any better at telling you how to start an Etsy store than, let's just say, somebody who actually started an Etsy store. And you can only really learn by doing. Or you can really learn by interviewing an expert that knows what they're doing. But that didn't stop me from spending 2 months feeling like I was inadequately prepared to start a blog and thus a podcast. And my domain sat there for 2 months before I really hit the publish button the first time on my first post and bought the microphone and really started cracking on this podcast because I allowed analysis paralysis to get in my way. And you may find the same thing too. Another thing with this problem that you have of procrastination perfection is that you almost get procrastination down to an art. But you also, other than information overload you might, you know, put on yourself, is the idea that you need to have everything perfect, like your office, before you can actually sit down and get to work. I've seen this happen over and over again with people that start to work from home, where they tell themselves that they will not be able to do their best work, or heck, any work, until they get this really sweet office setup taken care of. So they feel that they need to get the best chair, the best office, they need the lighting to be great, and then not only that, but they have to get their like mojo with the office. So things have to be set up a certain way. And don't get me wrong, I know tons of creative people that need to have that like really sweet setup, you know, where the pens are just set up ever so, and they have a cool lamp, like a lava lamp, that they always have to really, you know, get warmed up before they sit in for it in the day and get to work. But some of the most successful people I've seen really don't use the fact that they have crummy office equipment. It doesn't get in their way. And the fact that they could pick up and work from anywhere, whether it's in their car, in Starbucks, or even in their snazzy little home office setup, don't let the fact that you're broke or that you don't have the perfect office setup keep you from actually getting to work. Now, one interesting video, and I'll put this in the show notes, was Pat Flynn. He is a very successful online entrepreneur. He has the blog Smart Passive Income and a podcast to go with it. And his office is like the simplest, most basic, down-to-earth setup you would ever think. And it's really cool because he completely blows the mask off of this idea that you have to have a very professional boss setup to be your own boss. And that's not the case. So I'll put the link to his very humble but very cool and genuine video that he posted about his snazzy home office. So that is point number one. Do not let your need for perfection turn into means of procrastination. All right, so buzzkill number two is what I call DIY hell. Now, DIY hell is basically what happens when you feel the need, whether it's a control issue or the fact that you're broke, or maybe you have something to prove, where you feel that you have to absolutely do everything yourself, even when it's detrimental to your business overall. Case in point, if you are starting your own interior decorating business and you want to work from home, you might be very, very good at interior design, but have absolutely no idea how to set up a WordPress blog. Beyond that, do you know anything about getting a theme, a logo, how to market, how to reach out to potential customers? There are some things that you definitely want to learn as you go. You're going to want to learn how to market and reach out to potential customers to put a face on your business. But the fact that so many people who are starting up, especially when they're broke, feel the need to do absolutely everything from A to Z when it comes to their business is a complete method for burnout. You are going to kill yourself trying to get everything done. So, case in point, when you start running your own business, you're going to have to think of everything from the creation of your business, the maintenance of your business, things like paying taxes, paying bills, also being able to produce the content that's going to make you money. You can't do everything on your own. You have to delegate to other people. And yes, sometimes you have to pay for that delegation, and sometimes it totally sucks. But after spending, personally, 4 to 5 hours trying to understand CSS in a free WordPress template that made me want to hit my head on a desk, I have learned it is so much better to hire a professional web designer than to think you can seriously spend 5 hours wisely on your time trying to teach yourself CSS to do one or two small tweaks on a layout because you're cheap. So do not succumb to DIY hell. There are going to be things in your business that you're really good at. Perhaps as a blogger, you are really great at promoting meaningful, heart-wrenching content that really reaches people. That does not mean you should really be good at professional web design, or even that you should even bother with stuff like that. It'll get to the point in your business when you realize what you're good at and the things that you don't enjoy. Trust yourself that your time and your money is better spent letting a professional take on certain things. And whether that means you hire an accountant to do your taxes or you hire a professional web designer, trust me, you will thank yourself for it, and you will not spend 5 hours needlessly fixing a stupid free template because they have links to a lesbian hot site on the bottom of the footer and you can't remove it. So seriously, spend the money where it matters. Do not attempt to do it all yourself.
And just so I can be completely honest, I know everything of what it's like to have a lesbian hot site linked in your footer, simply because a year ago, when I first started frugalbeautiful.com, I thought I could be a Jedi Master and find a free theme on the internet that I could install myself and do all the tinkering that was necessary. Sadly enough, I don't know anything about CSS, but thought I could learn as I go. Turns out I was completely wrong. I found a free hot pink theme that I thought was totally awesome for free on the internet and installed it, thinking everything was hunky-dory, until a few weeks later a friend of mine emailed me to ask why I had linked to a very kinky lesbian dating site in my footer. Well, I'm all cool with lesbian dating sites, I have no problem with that, but this was an exceptionally kinky one, and I did not want that linked on a family-friendly blog. So, I tried to remove it. I did not learn from my fail, and then spent additional hours trying to edit the CSS, not realizing that things like that are kind of baked in and come with the territory of getting a free theme. So learn from my fail, and pay somebody to do something professional for you.
Alright, buzzkill number 3 is what I call robot brain. And you can also call this Cyberman brain, but if you don't watch Doctor Who, you didn't get that reference, and I'm hoping that if you don't watch Doctor Who, you don't listen to this podcast. So if that's the case, you can just go ahead and leave now. You really should be watching Doctor Who. Okay, that's totally not the point of this. So, robot brain. You will see evidence of what I call robot brain all over the internet, and maybe you're guilty of this yourself. Where when you first start out on a business or you see one of your friends is starting their own business, they start a website to go along with this business and they have this very aloof professional tone that does not at all sound like them or sell them as a human being. So we've all seen this on like an about page where it literally is like a resume where they list all the reasons why they should be taken seriously and kind of have this very weird third person tone where it sounds like they hired a professional writer, but you really know it's them that wrote about it themselves, but didn't have the courage to say, I did this and I feel this. And secondly, they don't put anything personal that would let us get to know them as a person. Now, business experts of all stripes will probably disagree with me, but if I'm hiring an accountant, I kind of want to know like what their favorite TV show is or something personal about them, if they have a family, or if they have any cool vacation photos. I don't know. It's not always appropriate for every niche, but take a serious look at your website or at the people you love and make sure they're not making the mistake of robot brain. Another form of robot brain is automatic tweeting. So many businesses feel the pressure to get involved with social media simply because they feel like they have to be there. They feel that pressure that if they're not there, they're going to get left behind. But they almost shoot themselves in the foot by automating their social media in a robotic way. We all know this. If you're on Twitter, you've probably seen the people that only tweet when they have new posts up or they have something to sell. Or they send out an automatic direct message when you follow them, and you know that they did not write that themselves. It's an automatic response. It's a robotic response. And people, your audience, people that want to buy from you, are not going to like that. They really want to get to know you as a person. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the value of having things automated. It's passive, it's easy, it keeps things consistent. But when you get to the point where you know you wouldn't even want to read this, like every 5 minutes, new post, read it now on Twitter, you know that your audience is going to unfollow you and they don't want to be involved with that. Same with their email inbox. They're going to unsubscribe if all you send out is something that looks like it's overly promotional and written by a robot. They sometimes, to a point, are buying from you, the person, whether you're an accountant, whether you're an interior designer, whether you're a stay-at-home mommy blogger. They don't want to be advertised to constantly. So be personal and don't be afraid of that. If you have a love of zombie movies, I don't know why you would, but let's just say you like zombie movies. If it's appropriate for the kind of business you run, you can talk about that on Twitter, or you could put that on your about page. If you have a family, you don't have to leave them off of your content. You don't have to leave them out of the story. Of course, it doesn't work for everybody. There's a time and a place, but trust yourself that sometimes the person you are is what people are coming for, and they want to get to know you if they're going to be buying your services or interacting with you or promoting your material. So if you cuss, if you love to swear, know that you will alienate some people, but other people will really like it. If you have an affinity for dorky cartoons or things like 9gag and you want to interject that into sometimes a very serious, like, financial post, that's you. Develop your own personality, your own voice, and don't be afraid of that. Of course, yes, sometimes it's detrimental. People aren't going to like it, but then again, people really don't like a lot of things, so screw them. You don't want them on your blog. You don't want them buying your services anyway. So at least attract the people you want. Make those genuine connections. Reach out, and don't be afraid that you're going to alienate a few people, because trust me, you will have more devout followers if you actually make it personal and leave the Cybermen Doctor Who references to the side. Just sell yourself as a person, because people are going to want to make that connection, and I know it's scary, but just do it. So buzzkill number four is none other than the insidious comparison game. Now, we all play this game. While it's super easy to hop online and read blogs of entrepreneurs who are doing exactly what you want to do, who are making what seems like easy money every month, do not let their success rain on your parade. Now, people that have made it big online, whether they're selling hand-knit tea cozies or they're doing affiliate sales on their blog and are making thousands of dollars a month, or maybe they scored a really awesome book deal, they're not sharing their success to make you feel horrible. They are trying to illuminate the potential of what lies within you. But so often, our own inner critic decides to take the front stage when we're doing something new and uncomfortable and completely foreign to us, that we often play the comparison game to either hide from the greatness we want to grow into or to simply use it as an excuse not to move forward. Not everyone is able to make $5,000 in affiliate sales or from Google AdSense in a single month. Not everyone is going to get picked up by Oprah after they write their first novel. I wish it were so, but it's not. The fact of the matter is, if you get to the point where you're reading inspiring stories that are making you feel horrible instead of the point, which is, duh, to inspire you, if you're starting to feel like utter poop after you read things, you really need to close the laptop and walk away. In your first year of freelancing, or in the first couple months of starting your own business, you need to look to these big names to give you guidance, to see what they've done, to maybe avoid their mistakes. But don't use it as an excuse to make yourself regret your decisions or to make yourself feel horrible about your life. They have put in a lot of time and effort. There are no overnight successes. The great thing about experts that inspire us is that they make it look so damn easy. Like Pat Flynn, and I brought him up before, he makes a lot of money passively online. Corbett Barr, who I interviewed in the last episode, can work from anywhere in the world. Chris Guillebeau also has a goal of traveling to every country in the world. He has a book published, and he has quite a cult following. I'm even going to the World Domination Summit in Portland in July. But it would be so silly to think that these people were able to accomplish what they were and to gain these big followings and make the money online that they do overnight. But yet somehow we've internalized this idea that we can beat it, and we can be exactly where they're at, where we are right now. So I just want you to take a breather. That's a reminder. Do not play the comparison game. I know it's tempting. You are where you are, who you are right now, and you're on a journey. So do not wear holes in your shoes walking in circles. Just take a step forward, even if it's small, and know that you're exactly where you need to be, and you'll get to where you're going eventually. So for tip number four, the buzzkill, is do not play the comparison game and be patient with yourself. All right, so the final buzzkill is what I call recreating the cubicle. So many business owners and free thinkers and entrepreneurs and smart people quit the grind simply because they want to get away from a boss they hate, hours that are inflexible, and work that isn't meaningful. But be careful when you start your own business that you don't subconsciously recreate the prison you just escaped from. Of course, when you first start a business, you're going to spend a boatload of time learning how to do things, making mistakes, researching, development, and putting forth something awesome, it's going to take a significant amount of your energy and your time. Expect that your family and personal life is going to suffer a bit on the get-go, and that the people you love will have to make some accommodations to make sure that they don't find you dead at your desk 48 hours later because you've had too much caffeine and you haven't fed yourself. But the fact of the matter is that there's a reason why you left the grind and started this business. There's a reason. And so beyond just getting on the treadmill and working and doing and creating, you eventually, especially after the very tough startup phase, after the first couple months, if you start feeling burnout, you need to take a breather before you completely burn out. Oddly enough, my first blog is frugalbeautiful.com. It's a lifestyle blog about frugality and being young and liking shoes. Really, that's all it is. But the funny thing was, is that as I was developing it into a real business that was going to generate revenue, I found that there wasn't much of a lifestyle for me personally to talk about on a lifestyle blog. So I'd start to see all these other bloggers taking pictures of like dinners out, of their boyfriends, of their really cute like fashion ensembles. And I realized that I was spending so much time working that there was no life left to talk about. I was too busy talking about everybody else's lives that it was kind of a sad state of affairs. And I realized that there were going to have to be other things that I would have to do to avoid burnout because I started turning into a content farm. And that's not ideal, especially if you're a blogger. So you have to, no matter what you're doing, take time for yourself, whether that's giving yourself a couple days to be with family, to be really present with friends and people you care about, even if you feel you can't afford it, even if you can't afford a vacation or the rent's due or whatever, you have to take some time off. And God knows, I've had a couple nights where I just had to sit down and watch nerdy TV because I had no energy to do anything else. In fact, the first couple months I started working at home, I watched the entire series of Star Trek: The Next Generation from start to finish in like 3 or 4 months of just like watching Star Trek Next Gen every single day. Simply because I had no money to go out. I was too busy. I had to be close to the computer to answer emails. But after I got through that phase of Star Trek The Next Gen, I realized that I did have to leave my apartment and I had to socialize with other human beings. Because when you start to speak Klingon and your friends don't even know who you are anymore because you don't look the same and you've lost weight and you have no tan, you know it's time to make a significant life change. So learn from my fail. Have a life, you know, light your fire. Even if you don't feel that you're in a very creative industry, so let's just say you do bookkeeping or lawyer, law, copywriting of some kind, you still have to stoke those creative fires. You still have to keep yourself alive and your spirit alive to do your best work. Especially in an instance where as a freelancer or a small business owner, many times people will come back again and again for you, the person, not necessarily the product you create. Case in point, I will frequently buy from graphic designers I like personally, or I will go to a pet food store that costs more money, or a small boutique by a, you know, small business owner, a woman who's super kind and treated me really well. Those personal relationships are very important to me as a buyer. So just assume that people that are going to read your content or support your store or buy from you really care about you as a person, even if they don't always have the opportunity to show that. They show it enough by the fact that they return to spend their money or to tweet about what you're doing. So I know it's tempting to recreate the cubicle, but don't do it. In the beginning, give yourself some time to adjust, to break those chains, to break those habits, but eventually you have to have a life. It's true. Otherwise, it doesn't matter where you work from. If you are flying off to Bali to work on your novel and you're flipping miserable, you've completely missed the point. So I know as a frugalpreneur, you're probably listening to this on an old laptop from a Starbucks drinking like cold water, but please invest in yourself. Spend some time and money, whether that's taking a spa day or getting a course that will really help build your business, something that you can invest in yourself, and take time off. Like, seriously. Whether it's just watching Xena on Netflix, which has been my horrible, shameful thing that I just love doing. But do it for yourself. Because you work too hard not to give a crap about yourself. And it's time. You're running your own business now. You have to be the boss and tell yourself to go home when you're sick or you're tired. So I guess that wraps up the third episode of the Frugalpreneur Podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. And I will see you back at thefrugalpreneur.com. Check out the show notes for any links to content I might have mentioned in the episode. And rock on. I'll see you back here for episode 4. Thanks.